a radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Gallant.
That's a G.
Yo, and George.
Thanks, Joe.
Yeah. On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
What do you need to see from the Houston Astros over the weekend, over this next stretch of games where they play the Tigers, the A's, the Brewers, the Angels, the A's again, where they wrap up the end of the month with a four-game series, I think it is, versus the Seattle Mariners? What do you need to see to give you a little confidence, a belief that things are going to be okay, that they're going to get better? Because at first it was, Paul's not watching the Astros. Who's not here today? Sean's in. Until they win three games. They won three games. And then they lost a lot of games after that. So we got the first one. And then they went, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 3-5 since they won those three games? Not great.
No, not good.
What do you want to see, Sean, from the Astros? I think I said the Rockets like three times there. What do you want to see? I'm making a Rockets YouTube video, that's why. What do you want to see from the Astros over the next month of the season and in this recent stretch to give you a little more hope, a little more belief, to fill up your glass a little bit?
Bare minimum this weekend, win 2 out of 3. And I would even add in, not only win 2 out of 3, but 2 out of 3, you have to feel good about at least either the starting pitcher,
okay,
whoever started, it has to be a 6-inning, 1-earned-run kind of performance from, because it's going to be Valdez, it's going to be Javier, it's going to be Verlander. So
yeah,
you can't get much better than that. And so it needs to be either a quality, not just a quality start on paper, but a start where, I guess not quantitatively, but qualitatively, you're like, this is good stuff that I'm seeing on my TV right now. Or it has to be either two games with that or two games where the lineup, you feel good about the lineup. You can't have everything on fire. You can't have these games. Even yesterday's game, they win 4-3.
You want to feel
must win game.
Yeah, stress free.
I don't feel that much better about either the lineup or the bullpen after that game. I know it was only one run given up, and it was by Ryan Pressly, and it took a two run lead to a one run lead, and everything else went to plan. But I didn't feel good.
Mm-hmm.
I need to win 2 out of 3 this weekend and feel good.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think that's a good start. Some Astros notes here. Alex Spies, he is I believe a relief. Yeah, he's a right-handed pitcher. The Astros just claimed him from Oakland. Sweet. He's been optioned to Sugarland. Corey Jolks, who was on the opening day roster in 2023, has been DFA'd to make room for Spies. And then Jacob Amaya was just optioned back down to AAA, or at least to the minors. Greg Kessinger has been reinstated from the injured list. So those are just some Astros moves.
Kessinger is can I revise now?
Kessinger that back to take no at-bats on this team.
You know what? Now sweep. Because now
sweep.
Now the Death Star is fully operational with Greg Kessinger.
Back Javier, Kessinger, we're back. We're back on the way. So the way of things
comeback,
being good comeback again.
Season right now.
I'm with you. Two of the next three. Eric, the driver, says here on the text line, until they win 10 out of 12.
Jesus.
Woohoo! Man.
I mean,
I'm not going to care too little too late.
If they do win 10 out of 12, they'll still be under 500.
Good point. But the vibes will be high.
The vibes will be very high. The vibes
will
be high.
We'll be doing like look back critical moments of where we've kind of games that we've glossed over because it's just been such ugly baseball. We'll be having to like revisit. Now, I'm not going to put like a 600, tweet thread of every single wrong decision Joe Espada made.
You'll leave that to us.
I'm sorry, Pat. That was mean. He didn't finish that with Dusty Baker also. but I'm not going to do that. But like, we are going to look back at some of these moments if they go on a massive run here and just be like, what are you doing, Joe Espada? What are you doing, Dana Brown? Where you been, Alex Bregman? I think 10 out of 12, I don't need them to win that much. I will agree that winning this series does matter. I would say big picture, between the Tigers, A's, Brewers, Angels, A's. So you have five series between now and you play Seattle again. You went four of them.
Oh, okay.
You got to win four of them. I'll take three with a split versus the A's because it's a four-game series.
How about...
So at a minimum, you need to go 3-1-1 in your next five series.
3-2 with series, but one of the series is a sweep.
If it's the A's sweep, fine.
Because it's an extra game.
Yeah. If you win, if you go 3-2 in your next five series, but you sweep the A's, so you win four games there, I got to feel okay. But...
Even like 5-7.
Yeah.
Go like... Yeah, if or not 5-7. Five wins in the next seven games. If the next two series, you win five of them.
I would say...
That'd be good. That wouldn't be enough, but I mean, obviously, the tone of our conversation would be very different a week from now.
Yeah, so I'm good with that. Like, that's what they need. You can't waffle anymore in the way that they've played. You're either a 500 baseball team, which is what they look like right now. They just started so poorly that they're having a hard time getting back to that. Or you need to figure it out and start winning some baseball games. So I think winning three of the next five is a – I think it's – first of all, it's not asking a lot here, okay? Like, I'm not asking for the Astros to win 80% of their baseball games the rest of the season. I know they need to win, like, mathematically, like, 62% or whatever it is to get back to 85 wins. But –
How much to get to 93?
No idea.
A lot, though.
Oh, that's over, dude.
I don't know.
It's over. There is 0% chance.
There is
0%. 1% chance. There's a 1% chance that we cash our over ticket on the Astros this year. There's a better chance that they go to the World Series than that ticket cashes. That's the more valuable bet that we made.
Yeah.
Because it was like plus 400. I have more confidence that bet would cash than them to win 93 games this season.
Yeah, because it's more likely that they win 85, 87, and are the third wild card. And hey, October, this team's been there before. Eight straight ALCSs. Let's make it, or seven straight. Let's make it eight. You can talk yourself into that. Whereas 93 wins, it becomes just a math problem.
Yes.
it is literally just a math problem.
Which we know on the show, not my strength.
No.
From the 713, winning every series at this point, that's a lot to ask. This text is funny. From 315, I know math is hard for Joe, but it's a 16-game stretch. How many of those games do they need to win? Well, so 2, 4, 6, 8. Nine? But see, that's still not good enough. Like, to go 9-7 in the next 16, it's still really not good enough. Like, you're in such a hole. Like, to go 9-7 in your next 16?
You'd be 22 and, what'd you say, 9-7?
Seven, yeah.
And 31?
Yeah, like, you're not really making up any ground there. Like you're really not. So
a little bit better, but yeah, it's not that much better.
Yeah, it's really not. That's why this hole is so challenging to dig out of this. 409. I need to see the Astros having fun. They have talent, but they are thinking too much. Relax and have some fun. I don't care, 409, Josh. I appreciate your text. I don't care if they have fun. I care if they win baseball games. Like, that's all that matters. They could be the most miserable team on the planet and win every single game. Or they could be the Bad News Bears and be laughing at each other as they drop infield pop-ups. Like, that's a problem. You need to win baseball games. And they'll have more fun. They'll have more fun if they start winning games. Winning's fun.
I was going to say, that is the one part of the Astros' criticism where I think it's the most, like, out I am on anything. Just, I'm 100%. I do not understand it whatsoever when people are doing the body language for the Houston Astros.
Body language and effort.
This team shows no fire. They don't look like they love the game. It's like, yeah, no bleep, dude. They're 12-24.
Yeah.
Like show me the team that looks like they have great energy and has a record as bad as the Astros.
Oh, I have a way bigger issue. Like, if teams were like enjoying themselves
exactly
while they're losing all
so
these games.
This, like, yeah, they'll get their swag back when they actually start winning.
Yeah. My take on that, like, on why fans focus on body language, looks like they're not having fun, looks like they're not trying, which I also don't believe. It's just excuse making. for players that they don't want to admit are terrible and in that moment. Like, it's easier for a lot of fans to say, Alex Bregman looks like he's not trying. Alex Bregman's not – what was that one we read the other day? Alex Bregman's not going to try until you pay him.
Oh, yeah. It's
versus, like, just – he kind of sucks at baseball right now.
Yeah, and I'm sure he's trying to be good.
Yeah.
I'm sure all the incentives for Alex Bregman this year are for him to be great at baseball.
And yeah.
Right now, he is failing at that.
So that's oftentimes what it is, where it's like, and I don't think that's what Josh is saying here, but it's a lot of times that excuse of body language, they don't look like they're having fun, that's why they're not winning. It's just, it's all it is an excuse to just, instead of admitting that players on the team that you root for are just very not good this moment.
It's the symptom, not the illness. Them not looking like they're having fun, them looking like they don't have fire, that they're not, it's because they're losing.
Yeah.
That's why. And they don't have, I mean, I guess that is one thing. They don't have a bunch of hotheads on their team. So I guess they're not going to have guys that are screaming at each other in the clubhouse or screaming at each other in the dugout. So the way it's going to manifest is them just kind of stewing in anger. And that's what I think it is. I think they are. It's frustration and anger with how they're playing. Not that they don't care. I think that the backbone and the majority of these players. And by the way, the majority of these players. I don't actually know if it's literally 14 out of the 26, but a good number of them, and a good number of the good players on this team, are World Series champions. Mm-hmm. They won in 2022. Most of these guys. And I don't think they forgot how to win. I don't think that they all of a sudden have a bad attitude or don't have leadership. They have the same leadership that they had 2 years ago when they won the World Series. Mm-hmm. They just need to play baseball better.
I need to see them finish it this long stretch at 500 before I start paying attention from the 713. That's a big ask. I get why you say that, but this next stretch, look, while it's easier to get back to 500 at this point, you're winning like almost every baseball game you have over the next month. Like,
they need to get to 500.
Yeah, before he starts paying attention.
Oh, yeah. So,
I mean, you have to.
Yeah. Hey,
she'll go like 13 and 14 and 2, 13 and 3, something like that to get back to 500.
Just check back after the NBA playoffs are done.
Yeah.
Check back in mid-June.
Yeah, for them to maybe,
if they go on a hot streak, and anything that isn't like a 12-game win streak.
They'd have to go 14-2 over the next 16 to be above 500.
Yeah, it's more likely that it happens bit by bit, and because it would have to happen bit by bit, it's going to take so many games for that to happen that – yeah, you're looking at like mid-June if they don't go on a crazy heater.
I need them to start playing better by June 1st, or I'm canceling Fubo from the 281. Paul's already beat you to it. From the 832, we need Coach O to be the manager of the Astros. If there ever was going to be like a crossover coach, Coach O is who I'd want.
As a coach that I, no matter what sport, I would just be like, you know what, pencil, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
Coach O, I mean.
NFL, NBA.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Swim team,
like, gymnastics team, whatever you want, he's got it.
Soccer, I'm sure, just to, yeah.
I mean, before they hired Willie Fritz, I was very on board with the Cougs going after Coach O. I just want to see it. It would either work and be awesome, and, like, they would win the Big 12, or they'd be a disaster again. And, like, selfishly, could you imagine going to a weekly radio show every week and listening to Jeremy Branham interview Coach O? Like, wouldn't that just be an enjoyable experience to see, like, the most, like, buttoned-up broadcaster we have probably in the city interviewing Coach O and seeing, like, Jeremy's response when he doesn't understand a word that Coach O says?
Go Cougs.
Yeah, like, no offense to Coach Fritz, but I just – the entertainment value would have been way higher with Coach O.
Yeah, it's some long, thoughtful question by Jeremy. And then,
you know, these boys, they're doing their best out there, yeah.
Like, it'd be great. All right. CBS put out their top 25 this year.
Coach O.
Coach O, where does he belong? We'll get to that next year on ESPN 97.5, 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.
listening to Gallant and George on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
Joe George, Sean Mapes, Austin Rodriguez here with you today on Gallant and George and Monday as well. Paul will return to the show on Tuesday next week. We will be at live at the Decoy one day next week. I believe that's on Thursday. So you can come on and hang out with us when they open up. So the college football is right around the corner. The video game cover came out today.
Yes. Looks good.
Shedeur Sanders, not on it. Not there.
Headline, Shedeur Sanders, not on the
Travis Hunter, he is.
On there.
Quinn Ewers, he's there.
On there.
Donovan
Edwards, also on there.
Donovan Edwards, also there.
Jalen Milroe, a little bit farther back, but he's in
wait.
There.
I can't wait for this game to come out.
I can't wait for them to announce the release date, and then the race it will be to get onto HR&P to request the days off.
Yeah, I know. I know you're not going to work. Austin, you'll be working. When
just a heads up.
You'll be working for
keep
like
your schedule.
I don't know how long I'm going to lose Sean for.
Keep if your Sean, schedule Sean gets July. Like,
I don't want to say how many vacation days you get per year. You've already used some of them. But like, is he going to use the rest of his vacation days? Yes.
On the table. It's on the table for sure.
Is Sean going to have to work on Christmas and Thanksgiving this year? Maybe.
I'll take that trade.
Okay.
Yeah. There you go. You're welcome.
It's so funny. Like, people are freaking out about the cover of this game because they released the deluxe edition. And people are like, we've waited all this time. Like, this is the cover we're getting. There's going to be, it sounds like, my understanding, is a singular athlete on the cover.
Because this does say deluxe edition.
And this is the deluxe edition.
Yes.
And I think there's a reason why Shedeur Sanders is not on this cover.
Chances are he's on the...
He's probably the cover athlete.
Yeah.
Because I think they're going to do a modern player. I don't think they're going to do the way they used to do it, where like, if it was the way it used to be done, Jaden Daniels or Caleb Williams would be on the cover of the game, because you could actually pay those guys to do it. I think Shedeur Sanders is going to be the cover athlete for College Football 25. But CBS Sports put out their top 25 this year.
For real life football.
For real life football. And it's funny, like, before the show, we were talking about this, because I heard you and Dell discussing it, and, like, thinking about the implications of if this were to hold true to what it means for the college football playoff. And I'm like, yeah, this is so dumb that SMU, the preseason 22-ranked team, would automatically qualify for the college football playoff. And then you reminded me that SMU plays in the ACC now.
Yeah, there's a 0% chance that they will be the group of five representative for the college football playoff because they are not in the group of five
anymore. Yeah. So this projection would have Liberty, who is not in their top 25, as the projected team that would get into the top 12. I really don't like the college football playoff format, to be honest. I think they got it wrong. I like the 12 teams, but I don't even personally believe that, for example, if you look at this top 25, their first ACC team they have listed is Clemson at 14. If they finish 14 and Liberty finishes 19, you're telling me those teams deserve to be in the top 12? Why?
Yeah.
Like, why do they deserve to be in there?
It's an overcorrection from how exclusive the four, or originally the BCS with two, and then the original iteration of the college football playoff with four, where that is like hyper restrictive. Mm-hmm. And then now it is. Oh, I won't want to say too open, but it is so open that, like you said, because you have to have, or you don't have to do it this way, but the easiest way to do it is to have automatic berths for conference
or
champions.
It would be all SEC and Big Ten schools.
Yeah, and you can't just do, well, okay, how about only the Big Ten and SEC are automatically in, and then you other guys can either. So you do have to go, well, okay, if you win.
I still think we might be heading there, that if they go to, they're talking about going to 16 pretty quickly, that they could follow the NFL format where, or they're going to 14, right?
Yes.
They're going to follow the NFL format where one team on each side of the bracket gets a bye and everyone else plays in the first round. It wouldn't shock me if those turn into automatic SEC and Big Ten bids.
I mean, it would. You don't even have. It doesn't have to be in writing, though. You could just say you have to win your conference to be a top two team.
And most of the time, the Big Ten.
Realistically,
get it
whoever wins the Big Ten or SEC will be one of the top two teams in the country, unless it's a year where
the Big 12 or the ACC as a team.
Or I was going to say we're a year where the two best teams are in the SEC or in the Big Ten. Where it's a year like 2 years ago or 3 years ago when Georgia and Alabama played the SEC title game and then played in the actual title game.
So this year they have Georgia. This one has Georgia 1, Ohio State 2, Oregon 3, Texas 4, Bama 5, Ole Miss 6. Mizzou comes in at 7. Notre Dame 8, Penn State 9, LSU 10. That's your top 10. So Texas obviously is in there as a top 5 team. I'm curious if they'll be able to hold on to that their first year in the SEC. SMU at 22. Texas A&M at 23. So the first game of the season is going to matter a lot for Notre Dame and Texas A&M. Like, Notre Dame is in the college football playoff if they win week one.
Yes, yes. Their schedule.
Like the schedule's not that hard. Yeah. The Texas A&M's the best team they're going to play. And like that's where I get why they don't give Notre Dame an automatic berth, because they're the only team that that applies to this year. I mean, you can win one game and almost secure yourself a spot.
Especially with how the because the expanded playoff is coming at the same time as all this realignment, where the average SEC or Big Ten schedule just got way harder when you consider the teams that they're adding. They're adding Texas and Oklahoma to the SEC, and they're adding
Washington,
Oregon,
USC, UCLA.
Well, okay. They're adding Washington and Oregon, and what we think most years, USC.
What do you think of the hardest question that we're not going to know until the committee puts this out? Because so if five teams automatically qualify, the next seven are decided by a committee. What does a loss mean? Is a fascinating question, because it's like, look at Michigan as an example.
Yeah.
Yes, they lost all these players, but like they're right now a top 15 team. Next year they will play Texas, USC, Washington, Oregon, and Ohio State. They play five elite college football programs next year alone. And typically you lose one game, you're out. I wonder like how many games you in theory will be able to lose against like elite opponents.
I think if you're in the Big Ten or SEC.
Three?
I think 9 wins or 10, you're odd, like you're in.
Mm-hmm.
I think 9 and 3. I think the debates will be around the 9 and 3. I think the 7 at larges, right?
Yeah.
That's where the debates will come. We'll be sorting through the 9 and 3, and that's when the conversation gets. Normally, when people say I can't wait for this conversation, and
it's gonna be more exhausting.
I can wait on this conversation. Actually, I don't need to be part of this conversation where we're parsing losses, like who has two good losses and one bad loss versus one bad loss and two
it's gonna get super complicated.
You know what? I don't care. Sort it out amongst yourself. Most of the 9 times out of 10, the 9 and 3. SEC Big Ten team who were debating, you're probably not going too far in the playoff.
The only thing I'd be curious about is, let's say Texas rolls in the SEC for the most part.
Yeah, let's say that.
But they lose to Michigan, Oklahoma, and Florida. So they're a three loss team, right? But Quinn Ewers was hurt for some of those games. Let's say in this hypothetical world, and they've looked really, really good.
And that would mean they beat Georgia.
And the ACC is terrible again. Yes, so they beat Georgia in this scenario. That's why I left that game for a reason.
Yeah.
They beat Georgia. Let's say the ACC is terrible again. What happens if you have like a one-loss ACC school, but you have Texas who beat Georgia and has good losses? That's what I wonder, is if they will take a Big 12 or ACC school out of the college football playoff with one loss over an SEC or a Big Ten team with like three really good losses.
Because it's something.
That's my question.
It's something in college football that they've never had to do. But it's something that's pretty common in college basketball. It's something that we're used to in college basketball, where it's not with ACC and Big 12 teams normally in college basketball, but it's with, you know, the MEAC and with the, you know, the Ohio Valley or Missouri Valley Conference. It's bid stealers. The idea of what if a, and I'm just picking teams out of a hat here, but what if a 9 and 3 or an 8 and 4 Oklahoma State upsets a 11-1 Utah in the Big 12 title game.
Yeah.
And now the conference champion's already in. And so now you're moving everyone down a peg. Now there's one less at-large spot for everybody.
Which is crazy. Because like, think about like Iowa playing the Big Ten championship game a couple years ago.
If they would have won that game,
like they could be like they could have been like a 6-loss team in the college football playoff. And it's
now it's going to be a little bit different because they don't have divisions anymore.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
you can't be a crappy Big Ten West team.
Yeah, which like that's good.
That is good. So most of the time you are going to, I mean, you're going to get the number one team in the conference versus the number two team in the conference. So a lot of times the at least for the Big Ten, the SEC, and sometimes maybe for the Big 12 as well, what they'll be deciding is who is going to get a bye and who is going to be the 5 seed or the 6 seed and who's going to be the 1 or 2 seed when, you know, in the SEC title game,
it's
Georgia versus LSU.
All right, I have a couple other questions about this, and we'll take a look at what's going on in the NBA as well when we get back here on Glant and George on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5. I assume you knew. It's Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
All right, a couple of things before we get back to college football stuff. A quote today out of rookie minicamp from Detroit.
Oh, out of Detroit. Good.
From Terran Arnold.
At least it's not from Houston.
Yeah, what's from Terran Arnold. He said, quote, "If my mom was a receiver, I'd jam her into the dirt, and she knows that." I like this guy. He doesn't care who it is. It's his mom. Don't care.
Nick Caserio, why didn't you trade up for this guy?
He doesn't care.
You know what?
He's basically saying he's going to kill his mom. If he's going to put her in the dirt.
I think he meant jam her.
I know.
Put her on her ass. But yeah, that's you know what? That's what I want from a.
I mean, that makes sense why Dan Campbell took him. Like that sounds like something the Lions. Like that's a culture fit for the Detroit Lions. All right, and then I'm gonna. So there's a VIP package that they're doing up in Dallas. If you want to partake in this for. The Jake Paul Mike Tyson fight. Okay. So here's what you get, and then you're going to guess the price.
Okay.
2 unique ringside apron seats.
Okay.
Security escort during the fight.
Wow.
Pre-fight photo with Paul and Tyson.
Okay.
Gloves signed by Paul and Tyson.
Okay.
Place on stage.
Oh my god.
During the weigh-in.
Okay, so this is like for
post-fight in-ring photo and more.
Okay, so this is for like influencers, right? It has to.
How much do you think this cost?
$5,000.
Nope.
$10,000.
Nope.
Oh, my God.
Bro, you're not even in the ballpark.
$50,000.
Not in the ballpark.
$100,000.
Not in the ballpark. If you have $2 million laying around, you can get 2 unique ringside apron seats, security escort during the fight, pre-fight photo with Paul and Tyson, glove signed by Paul and Tyson, placed on stage during the weigh-in, and a post-fight photo, and more for just $2 million. Okay. That's crazy.
I mean, you sell one of those, and like...
$2 million?
Just sell one pass to, I think Mark Zuckerberg.
That's what this kind of sounds like. This sounds like a one-offer thing.
If someone goes, I'll pay you $1 million for it, do you think they go?
Think they take it?
No, thanks. We're holding out for 2.
They must know that like there's someone that wants this. There must be some like that Gary Vee guy, how he's so obsessed with the New York Jets. There's got to be someone that's like obsessed with Mike Tyson that would pay for this.
Yeah, there has to be a billionaire out there that you have to be a billionaire to do this.
Yeah, like spend $2 million on this. Like what a crazy amount of money. What a waste of money.
Gosh. Okay. Yeah. Wow. My first one was like $10,000.
No, you said five.
$5,000.
Okay, five sounds.
How much are these guys getting paid for this fight?
I don't know.
like you're probably getting like 10% of their purse.
Maybe $2 million right there. Like maybe that's their payment.
Even if they're getting 20, like you're getting 10% of what they're getting for actually fighting. That's what you're paying.
That's what you're paying them. Like you're paying 10% of their purse.
Oh my god.
Crazy.
Oh, my God. Yeah, no one's going to do that. No one. No, I can't think of a single person that's going to do that. Who's the Michael Rubin? You think Michael Rubin's a big Tyson guy?
But it's like, wouldn't those people like just get tickets for free and like be able to get to do all that stuff?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, that's why I thought it was like an influencer kind of, yeah, like it's something they're going to have influencers up there doing. Because like, who, like, honestly, like, who cares to be on, honestly, the, be on the stage for,
you know,
the weigh-in?
You know what's so funny? I bet you someone does buy this. I bet you it doesn't get sold and then like just save face, like just like Logan Paul buys it for his brother. Just to like not embarrass him. Be like, oh, I just wanted to pay for this.
Yeah. Or it's like how you see certain celebrities. They, I mean, Drake is an example of this, no, but there's been other, I know.
Not sure he'll get invited.
Tough week. tough week for
me. Are you going to have like a follow-up Mount Rushmore plus one tomorrow on the bullpen? Because last week you did.
What, there's been
you
two
did,
songs.
You did the disses that were written that you could say as a, according to FCC and being white, yes, on the air. So, but there's been two songs written since. So I don't know if you're going to do a follow up.
I mean, in the Not Like Us by Kendrick Lamar is especially vicious. There yeah, actually might not be a lot that I can say in that one.
No, probably not. It's
but
probably not.
Yeah, I you know what? I might. I just might. Now that you're putting me on the spot, and I don't have an idea already for the show tomorrow, so that might be my idea, is I just do that again. So, yes, that, you know what? Let's just mark that in as, book, yes, it, that's what I'm going to do. I'll forget about it, and then during the show tomorrow, I'll be,
right, we'll be scrambling.
I'll be looking at the lyrics.
And then, okay, so back to this college football thing for a second.
Okay.
Even though they're getting rid of divisions, and they're going to this two system, you know, like the top two teams. You think there's any way, like, you think there is a world where these conferences value, I'm not necessarily thinking about the bid Steelers. I'm thinking about, like, you lose your conference championship and it makes you fall out of the college football playoff. That they get rid of them? That they get rid of the Big Ten championship game?
And well, they it, say, it wouldn't happen to a Big Ten team.
And or so like the ACC. Like,
yeah, it would have to be like an ACC, yeah, a, so, I mean, honestly, even like a group of five teams.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, actually, that's who would be most incentivized. Yeah. Is like the American, the Sun Belt, the Mountain West. Those places, because those are the ones where, I mean, it's not just your conference. It's, yeah, all the conferences are getting one team in.
So it's like, why play that game? Because if you're Liberty.
Yes, if you're an undefeated Sun Belt,
yeah,
team.
Yeah, but you've got a undefeated, let's say, Northern Illinois, just as an example.
Well, no, it would be a conference championship game. So it would be...
No,
would,
but like if Liberty were to lose that game...
Oh, yes.
And Northern Illinois were to win the MAC...
Yes.
Then not only does... Like, do you not win your conference? Like, you automatically could get jumped by just whatever the next team is.
Yeah.
So I wonder.
That basically happened this year.
Yeah.
With the SMU. SMU lost the, yeah, American title game. And they had, I think, two losses. And Liberty went undefeated. And, but if both had won their, if Liberty won, still went undefeated, and SMU won, they, yeah, like, SMU probably gets in over Liberty because Liberty had literally the worst schedule in college football last year.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
that could be a situation where, yeah, like you said, they just get rid of the college or the championship game.
And even like on the Big 12 and ACC side of this specifically, because you're right, the Big Ten and the SEC will be, it won't matter.
You're fighting for the bye.
Those two teams will get in every single year. Whoever plays in those title games, those will be four of your 12 teams. But let's just, like, looking at the, you know, predictions here, like the CBS top 25, take the top two ACC schools. Say you have Clemson and you have Florida State, and they're in the power rankings at 10 and 11.
Mm-hmm.
And then they play each other in the ACC. Well, the loser of that game misses the college football playoff.
Yeah.
So, like, is the ACC championship game more valuable than playing in the college football playoff for your conference? I would say no.
So the actual answer is probably very nuts and bolts of what is the payout from the college football playoff, yeah, for having a team in there versus having two teams in there.
Mm-hmm.
And what is, how much money are you getting from Fox or ESPN to have a conference
to
championship,
have a championship game?
Because that game is sold. Just like how we're talking about in the NFL, mm-hmm, the Christmas Day game is getting sold separately. That's not literally what happens with the conference championship games in college football, but that is essentially what happens. It's, you're adding a game, you're adding a championship game for these companies, so they are in theory going to give you more in the rights negotiation. So it could be a situation where they get an extra, just to make it easy, they get an extra $10 million to do a ACC championship game. But the payout for getting two teams in the ACC, getting two teams from the ACC into the playoff, will be $20 million.
Yeah.
Then it's like, whoa, do the math. It makes more sense for us to guarantee us two spots in the playoff than it is to play this game.
And I think it'll be a trickle down. Like, once one happens, it'll all happen eventually.
I think
it'll lead to the SEC and the Big Ten eventually getting rid of those games. If someone does, but
it's something where someone would have to get their feelings hurt first.
Yeah. And that's why I think it will happen. Maybe not in, because this 12 team playoff might last a year, maybe 2 years before they go to 14 teams. And then we'll be at 16 before we know it. But I think something like this is on the table. We saw the Ivy League do this in basketball. They didn't have a tournament.
Yeah.
They brought the tournament in and then it went so poorly. They talked about getting rid of it. I think they still have it now.
I think they had it. But it was the regular season winner would get the bid.
Yeah.
And so the conference tournament is just a conference tournament. Yeah. There's no
And as a side note, too, like, as they continue to add college football games, at some point, like, you have to remember, like, they are, in theory, kids, even though at some point, I guess, they could become employees. I do wonder if the NCAA at some point would try to get involved and say, hey, there's too many games on the schedule.
Hey, these kids have finals.
Like, there's too many games. Let's take one game off the schedule, and that's the one game you take off. All right, when we get back, we'll do garbage time. And before we get to garbage time as well, we got a new television show in the works that we're going to discuss and see our interest level. That's next here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.
You're back with Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul and Joe.
I should have looked to see what television network this was, but apparently we're moving quicker through the Ohtani story, okay? Ipe's in jail.
Boom.
Ipe also apparently was like sending money to like a model or like an influencer.
Who hasn't?
And now there's already...
That's not a crime, by the way.
No.
I don't like that being lumped in.
Unless it's Shohei's money.
Yeah, then that is a crime. Yes. That's very
and that's what
crime.
I think it is.
Oh, okay. him paying an Instagram model, not a crime.
And then there's already a television show being developed about Ipe. Like stealing money from Shohei Ohtani and then going to jail. Like, I'm guessing they're going to have to get Shohei's consent to this. And, like, you know, since he doesn't speak English, it might be hard. But because he can't look at his bank, apparently, and realize $450 million is gone from it. Which I still blows my mind about this story. It's crazy. It's such a dumb excuse. But then he goes and does interviews in English talking about his shoes. It, like, blew my mind. They happened in, like, the same week. I'm way more interested in this television show because you can way over-dramatize it versus, like, the Donald Sterling one, though. Like, we know what happened with Donald Sterling.
Oh,
like, yeah. Like, with, like,
Ipe. There's more creative license.
Like, with Ipe, like, you can get, like, the Yakuza involved. Like, you can get whatever you want, like, about, like, the guys who threatened Shohei Ohtani when he was walking his dog. Like, and he apparently didn't understand them. Like there's so much more creative freedom you can have with this show.
So, yeah, it could be, like, it could be like, yeah, like a, it could be a more trashy show.
Yeah.
It could be like a VH1 show.
Like, yeah.
It could be.
Like, you can do way more with this show than you can.
Prestige TV. Yeah.
Yeah. You can weigh, like, it doesn't have to be the Shohei Ohtani Ipe story exactly. It can be a baseline and then just grow. It's like Playmakers.
Yeah. Or what you, yes, exactly. Where you, it's not a Japanese baseball star and his interpreter.
Yeah.
It can be like a Cuban baseball
star.
So he's speaking Spanish.
Loosely
not
based on Jordan Alvarez. No, I'm just kidding.
Whoa.
I'm just kidding. Bad joke.
But yeah, you can... Jordan, check your Chase account right now if you're listening. No, but you can fictionalize it a little bit and get real fast and loose with the truth.
All right, let's get to garbage time here to wrap up the week.
Oh, I love trash.
Garbage time.
It's garbage.
Starts now.
I'm the trash man.
This is garbage.
All right, so Glenn Big Baby Davis going to jail.
Glenn Davis going to jail.
40 months.
Not Soccer Matters, Glenn Davis.
Good catch.
I was waiting. The entire time I was wanting to make that joke.
We might need to do something with that now and mess with Glenn. I think he would enjoy it. There's certain pranks that would go too far.
He has to know, or like he has to be up to date on all Glenn Big Baby Davis news, because if there's
he probably gets texted about it all the time.
If there's a guy with my name that got thrown in jail for 3 years, I would know about it.
Yeah, I mean, we'll put posters up in the studio. That happened to him once, and this one he won't get as upset about.
I know what you're talking about.
Okay. Well, guess what? You know, when I want to lose weight, Sean, I go to O Athletic. When Glenn Davis goes to lose weight,
Big Baby Davis.
Big Baby Davis. He just wants to go to jail.
I got a cold imagination, though. You know, I do that act. I got a cold imagination. I'm going to have to choke the chicken in the bathroom.
I didn't know he said that.
Keep going. There's more left. He's not just going to do that.
That's crazy. I'm going to be swole, though. I swear to God, I'm about to get in so much shape. Oh, God. That's the only way you can stop me from eating hamburgers is put me in jail. That's what God said. I'm going to stop you eating hamburgers. I'm going to put you in jail. You don't want to stop eating hamburgers and Cheetos? You're going to jail. So now, I'm gonna come to rock.
What do you think, Joe? Do you think that's an effective way to not only cut fat but also add muscle mass?
To go to jail
to help your diet and
to
and
stop eating cheeseburgers and Cheetos.
Yeah,
hamburgers. He said to be clear. He's like Paul. It sounds like doesn't like cheese.
You know what? I'm not sure. I think Glenn Big Baby Davis might like a cheeseburger.
Dude, what a. I mean, like, I give him credit, like, for, like, laughing and, like, and having a good, like...
I actually don't give him credit.
And, like, he's either a lunatic or he's really trying to make the best of his life here.
He's going to be the Rock. He defrauded healthcare to get
money. But he's going to be the Rock when he gets out in 3.5 years. I don't know what the good behavior is, so I don't know, like, how much time that has. And I don't know if he can get out in 30 months instead of 40 months. I'm going to have to beef up the timeline here.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what his parole situation is.
All right. Over under his current weight when he gets out of jail.
I'd be very disappointed if it's over.
I'm going to go over.
How is that possible?
I don't know. I'm going to say jail is going to go very poorly for Glenn Davis. And Big Baby Davis.
Just to make it clear.
I'm going to say for Big Baby Glenn Davis. Jail's gonna go unwell for him. It's gonna go against if he's thinking this so through about like I'm gonna lose weight, I'm gonna get healthy, I'm gonna be the Rock.
Uh-huh.
Instead, he's gonna be like who's the creepy guy? Who's the bad person from that 70s show? Danny Masterson. Someone just put a story about how he's eating $300 worth of candy a day in jail. What kind of jail do these people go to? First of all,
rich people jail.
Okay, so he's gonna go to rich people jail, and he's gonna get fatter.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if he thinks that there's going to be no cheeseburger there, but if Danny Masterson can have $300 worth of candy, I'm sure Glenn Davis can have cheeseburger. Like, Big Baby Davis can have cheeseburger.
Host of Fraud Matters here on ESPN 97.5, Glenn Big Baby Davis.
Yeah, so I'm going to say over his current weight when he gets out of jail.
I will say...
He's going to puff up.
I will say, and this is not a paid endorsement, but I will say that I think that... O Athletic is a better weight loss option and fitness option
than going to jail
than prison. Yes,
I think they also would endorse that. Now, to be fair, you do pay to be in jail. I think, or isn't there some kind of taxes or something like that? Who knows?
I haven't been to jail yet.
Maybe you can
I'll let you know.
We'll discuss that Monday. If the Astros lose this weekend, 2 out of 3 to the Tigers, Monday's lead on the show. How does Sean Mapes end up in jail?
All right. Top 10 crimes you think I would commit.
That does it for us. We'll be back on Monday. Paul will be back on Tuesday. Joel, Jeremy, Paul are next. Nope, not Paul. Brian. Jesus. Goodbye.
Warning, warning. You're listening to ESPN 97.5.